This is the Falcoholic Podcast, the official podcast of the Atlanta Falcons on the SB Nation Podcast Network. And boy, howdy, I hate Thursday night games. As we're recording this, the Falcons just lost 25-0 at home to the New England Patriots, who moved to 7-4. The Falcons fall to 4-6. The good news, Evan Birchfield, who is here with me on the podcast as always. The good news, Evan, is we don't have to watch the Falcons on Sunday.
Yeah, that was really the only good outcome from this game.
I do want to say, I feel like this score is going to misrepresent what happened in this game, because to be honest, I felt like the Falcons defense had a very good day on the afternoon. Seven or six of those points scored were from a pick six thrown by Josh Rosen. And at the end of the game, the Patriots basically tagged on another field goal towards the end after Matt Ryan interception, right? And really, the defense, I felt like, played extremely well in this game. So
yeah.
Before we get into the specifics, though, there were some injuries. And I feel like before we hammer on the Falcons offense, we do need to talk about some of the guys who are out for this game, because I think that is part of the narrative here. So can you give us an update on the injuries coming into this game before we recap what happened?
Yeah. So we all knew kind of, you know, during the week, Cordarrelle Patterson, who's been dealing with an ankle injury. We didn't know what the like specifics were, but Cordarrelle Patterson had an ankle injury that caused him to only play 15 snaps on Sunday. So it sounded like he was a long shot to kind of play, but then the Falcons kind of, you know, they had him as limited throughout the week. So that kind of makes it a little more questionable, like, oh, maybe he will play. So he ended up not playing. So the Falcons basically had even less offensive weapons than they had before somehow. Hayden Hurst went on IR, not that he was playing a huge role in the offense, but I mean, they just overall didn't have their guys out there. And the ones that were just didn't make an impact. It was tough. It was tough. I don't even know what, you know, me and DW are doing this like literally right after the game. So our brains are still kind of mush right now, but yeah, I don't know, DW, it's tough.
Yeah. This is, I mean, back-to-back games like this where they just got pummeled. And, you know, I picked them to lose by 18. I predicted 31-13. Didn't think they would be held scoreless. They had opportunities in this game. The offense did. So let's go ahead and dive into the offense, because, again, they did not score any points in this game.
Right.
Which is, I believe, the first time they've been shut out at home since the late 90s, which is – atrocious.
I think they said this was the second like ever shutout that Matt Ryan was in.
Yeah, and that's there's a lot of conversations around that, but let's get into it. Give us the stats and then we can talk about what the offense did on the day.
So Matt Ryan, not a great day by any means. 19 completions on 28 attempts, 153 yards, two interceptions, a pass rating of 51.6. Josh Rosen had one completion on three attempts for 5 yards, a interception that, as you mentioned, went for a pick six. And Felipe Franks, you know, why not, came out through a through a pass and it was intercepted naturally, which then, thank God, the Patriots decided to just kneel it and get out of there. That's got to be a first. I mean, you'd have to really do some research on this one, and I'm not even sure how you would do it. But to have three different quarterbacks on your team throw an interception in the same game, I mean, that just
someone doesn't ever someone happen. Found it. Mike Sando. I asked as well. I thought, oh my God, this has to be the first time. It's actually not. The last time three quarterbacks threw an interception for the same team in the same game was when Ryan Leaf, Jim Harbaugh, and Moses Moreno threw three interceptions against the Dolphins in the year 2000. So it has happened before, but yeah, the Falcons did sort of etched themselves into a little bit of a history book there.
Interesting. That's just awful. On the ground, you know, we obviously, as I mentioned, no Patterson in this one. So Mike Davis came in as a starter and he finished with 3 carries for 1 yard. Terrible. Through the air, he had 3 catches for 20 yards. Also on the ground, Quadri Allison, who was called up from the practice squad, had 9 carries, 34 yards. He was the best rusher, you could say, on the ground. Wayne Gallman, I saw so many people on Twitter talking about how they were going to start Wayne Gallman.
Oh, man.
And I don't blame it. If you're super desperate, I get it, because last week he had 15 carries for like 55 yards and he looked good. The Falcons clearly didn't think, you know, that highly of him because he had 1 attempt for -3 yards. So if you started Wayne Gallman in fantasy, if your league allows negative points, you lost points by starting him because he had no catches either. So that was it. 1 carry, -3 yards. Through the air, Russell Gage was the highest targeted receiver. He had 5 catches for 49 yards on 8 targets. Kyle Pitts, another sleeper game, 3 receptions, 29 yards. Alamide Zaccheaus, 3 catches, 23 yards. Tajay Sharp, 2 catches, 21 yards.
That's so sad.
It's easy to just blame Matt Ryan because his stats, and he did throw, you know, there was a little miscommunication on that one interception. I would say Alamide Zaccheaus on that one interception towards the end. Like, if you get 2 hands on it, in my opinion, you should catch it.
Yeah. It was slightly high.
It was slightly high, but, you know, if you get 2 hands on, like, at least, I don't know. It doesn't matter. The game was out of it anyways, but, yeah, just awful day. I mean, there's really no stats here for the offensive line, but between the penalties and the protection, like, awful.
Atrocious.
Just across the board. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. That offensive performance had to have been one of the worst, and that's saying a lot, but one of the worst in recent history for the Falcons. I think they've been outscored like 3 in the last 2 games, 3-68 or something. Sickening.
Yeah. The second week in a row, you know, Ryan had a rough game. I feel like there's no middle ground in these arguments with people. And to be blunt, I'm just getting tired of it. I point out, the first interception to Pitts probably shouldn't have thrown that ball off his back foot. Even Troy Aikman was saying, you know, Pitts needs to finish that route. I don't know if it would have made a difference or if it would have been contested. Still wasn't a good decision for Matt. You know, the second interception, you could argue, sure, Zaccheaus should have come down with it. Ryan probably put that ball a little bit too high. That's part of the problem too. Ryan did not have a good game. He had several instances. He took a big sack when, you know, they had a 3rd-and-1 where, you know, he clearly was trying to extend time in the pocket and that was not working. But at the same time, you know, it's Ryan made some bad plays. He made some bad decisions. And you have one side of people who come out and say, this entire team sucks because of him. Everything that's wrong with the Falcons is Matt Ryan's fault. And I'm like, oh my God, did you not see the rest of the game? Did you not see the offensive line? And then, you know, similarly, there's people who step up and it's like, you know, everything except for Matt Ryan is the problem. And look, that's not right either. Like, Matt Ryan made some poor choices in this game. Mm-hmm. And I think even Matt Ryan would step up and say, hey, I wish I could have some of those plays back. You know, these 2 losses have just amplified this, I think, with fans. And there's no way to assess this properly right after the game. Did Matt have a rough game? Yes. Is everything that's wrong with the franchise on Matt Ryan? No. Was the offensive line part of the issue here? Absolutely. Is Arthur Smith, did he have some questionable play calling in this game? Yeah. He did. And that is part of this, you know, it's never just one thing. It's not just the quarterback. It's not just the receivers. It's not just the offensive line. Like, when you score 0 points in an NFL game, a lot of things have gone wrong, including injuries. You know, look, they didn't have Patterson. They don't have Ridley. Even their second receiving tight end, you know, Hayden Hurst, he has caught balls this year and he's out. Like, they're literally missing three of their weapons in this game. And there are very few teams that can overcome losing three of their five, you know, top weapons and still go out there and consistently field a good offense. So I feel like some of that has to also be put in perspective. I didn't, you know, once I saw that Patterson was out and that Hayden Hurst was out, I felt, yeah, this offense is going to struggle all night. And that's what happened. I'll tell you what, though. Kudos to the Falcons defense and what they did. I think if you're looking for some positives, I think what we saw today behind this defense is something maybe going forward is something to be, you know, optimistic about, because this may have been their best performance of the season. But before we talk about them and what the Patriots did on offense, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back on the Falcoholic Podcast. This is Dave Wark. I'm joined by Evan Birchfield. We're talking about the Falcons loss 25-0 at home. Falcons dropped to 4-6. Playoffs.
Yeah, that's gone.
Yeah, those hopes are gone. The good news, folks, you have Sunday off from watching the Falcons. And the next game is against the Jaguars. So maybe the Falcons can bounce back after that game. If you're looking for, you know, this hope for this season, I got nothing for you. But Evan, the Falcons defense, I felt like, you know, as we mentioned earlier, I felt like they did more than enough. I felt like they, you know, were actually a pleasant surprise in this game. So why don't you tell us what the Patriots actually did on offense? Because I was kind of surprised. It felt like they were going to run up the score and they actually never could quite get it going.
Yeah, this is a Patriots team that put up 40 plus the week before against the Browns.
Against the Browns, yeah, 45-7. They won
that. Right. And the Falcons only allowed one, you know, their defense only allowed one touchdown. The defense was constantly put in bad field position. Falcons offense kept going three and outs, it seemed like, the entire game. So the Falcons defense, I mean, they felt like they were always out there. You know, I'm not going to say they're a good defense or anything, but they are not the reason the Falcons lost this game. Like, they did everything they could to keep the Falcons in this game until the very end. And for much of the game, even like past halftime, the Falcons were in this game because of the Falcons defense. AJ Terrell had his first interception of the year. I'm not coming away blaming the defense for anything. 100% the offense, in my opinion. So anyways, you asked about the Patriots offense. Stevenson on the ground. Stevenson led the day, 12 carries, 69 yards. He had a big day against the Browns last week. Damian Harris, who was in concussion protocol last week, so he missed that game. He came back. He had 10 carries for 56 yards. I mean, they were efficient on the ground. They moved the chains. That's what the Patriots wanted. Through the air, Mac Jones, 22 completions, 26 attempts, 207 yards, a touchdown, and that interception I mentioned that went to AJ Terrell. There was a ton of hype coming in this game. The national media just kept talking up Mac Jones. He's a rookie. Yeah. He looked good, but I didn't see the second coming of Tom Brady or something out there. Like, I'm not going to write off his career or anything, but like, was I blown away? No, but I think he's a good rookie quarterback. And obviously, you know, compared to the rest, he's probably had the best start. So Patriots probably got a good one that they can have for the next decade or more. But like, my socks weren't blown off. It seemed like everybody kept just talking about him. So I was expecting like a crazy day by him. He was efficient. He was what, you know, what's perfect for the Bill Belichick system. So I think he'll be, you know, successful there going forward.
Yep.
Kendrick Bourne through the air had 4 receptions, 42 yards. Nelson Agholor had 5 receptions, 40 yards, including the only touchdown the Falcons allowed, defensively. And that was just, it seemed like a blown coverage, just a blown play pretty much, because Agholor was wide open. I mean, he could have just walked right in there. Jacoby Myers, 4 receptions, 39 yards. Hunter Henry, who's, I believe, has the most touchdowns by a tight end this season, where he's tied with 7. He finished with 2 receptions, 25 yards. So kind of quiet day by him. And Jonnu Smith had 1 reception, 17 yards. Yeah, not crazy high numbers by the Patriots offense, because the Falcons kind of did their job. Patriots won through the kicking game. Nick Folk had 4 field goals. And that's pretty much what the script was for the Patriots. They bled the clock. They were always, you know, within field goal range. So they took the points.
Yeah. You know, I tell you, though, their time of possession, 32 minutes versus 27 for the Falcons, was not as lopsided as it felt.
Yeah, it felt insanely lopsided.
It did. But actually, the Falcons had a few drives where they were methodically moving it down the field. And on one of the drives, it ended in the Matt Ryan interception. Another one, it ended when they couldn't convert on 3rd and 1 and then 4th and 1. So the Falcons offense wasn't completely inept. They just didn't finish these, you know, those two drives. And I think if they finished those two drives a little bit better, you know, they at least put some points on the board because they were definitely in field goal range. Oh, and incidentally, they did go for a field goal. And Koo hit it the first time around, but because of a freaking illegal formation penalty, they moved it back 5 and then Koo missed, which summarized this game to me. I think
that was his first 50 plus yard missed field goal in the regular season, like in his career. He was 11 for 11 at that point. And then, you know, I mentioned it before that he wasn't like a long distance kicker. He's more like if you're within 40, like he's automatic, but once you get back there, you're pushing it. And I think that's just what it was.
Yeah.
And you know, it's not like he missed it like crazy. Like he just missed it. It's not a big deal, but
if you go back and watch it, like the ball starts off, it looks like it's going to split the uprights.
Yeah.
And then at some point it literally just starts moving in midair and moves away. Like I swear to God, I feel like there was a dark force that took that ball out of the air and moved it away just to troll Falcons fans. So when I saw that kick, I was like, yeah, that makes sense. That's what this game is. I will say Falcons defense, again, just a really solid overall performance. They had 3 sacks on the day. Foye Luikun had one of those. Eric Harris and Dante Fowler shared a sack. And then Darren Hall had one as well. So the blitzes were getting home from Dean Pease. And they had quite a few. They had 5 quarterback hits, several tackles for loss. And I think the big play, which got a lot of people excited, A.J. Terrell made a fantastic play, picked off Mac Jones, returned it, I think, for 30, 40 yards. You know, really good to see him get his first interception this year. And
but again, like that drive just stalled. That was the one where it was 4th down and they went for it in the red zone.
Convert 1 yard.
And that was their first red zone failure. I guess 2nd of the game, but like going into the game, we talked about in the Falcolic chat, like they were 100% when they were in the red zone going into this game. For some reason, that's a weird stat for a team that's struggling this bad offensively, but then fell apart.
Yeah. The Falcons, once they get into the red zone, they've been really good at making sure they come away with points. And actually their red zone conversion percentage to touchdowns has improved this year over last year. Like they were one of the worst in the league last year. And I think this year they're in the top 15. So that it's gotten much better. But yeah, this, you know, as going back to the defense, the defense, I felt like against a New England Patriots team that was, you know, one of the top scoring teams in the league, to hold them to 19 points. And I know that, you know, again, 6 points came on the pick 6. To hold them to 19 points, to, you know, force them into 4 field goals. Again, I feel like the issues in this game were not with the defense. It was with the offense. And look, you're missing Patterson. You're missing Ridley, who incidentally could potentially return for the next game. We'll see if that happens. We have heard 0 updates on him. Just to be clear, we do not know whether Ridley's going to be back or not. Technically, he can come off the NFL non-injured reserve list. for the Jags game, just to be clear. But you don't have Ridley. You don't have Patterson, who's one of your best weapons this year. Hayden Hurst goes on IR, you know, your second best receiving tight end. Suddenly you're playing with guys like Parker Hesse out there at tight end. Yeah. Quadri Olison literally gets more carries as a guy who just got elevated from practice squad compared to your starting running back in Mike Davis, who had 3 carries for 1 yard. Was that what we said? 3 carries for 1 yard?
3 carries for 1 yard.
Yeah. So the guy who just came up from a practice squad, who incidentally you drafted and you cut at the beginning of the year and then brought back onto the practice squad. Oh my God, this is, it's like, it's comedy. Is your leading rusher. And then your number one receiver is Russell Gage. And then Olamide, Zaccheaus, and Tajay. Like, this is, I don't know how anyone looked at this offense and thought, man, these guys should be scoring like 30 points a game. Yeah. Like, this is a, outside of Matt Ryan, you can make the case that this is like a preseason offense that was out.
You know
there.
What they remind me of? And this is like a weird comparison, but you remember how the Houston Texans offense was when they became the expansion team and yes. they got to like, and you get to pick apart, like you get some like free agents and, you know, you get like a Kyle Pitts would be their like offensive, you know, weapon that they got in the draft. But that's kind of what it reminds me of. Like, it's just awful everywhere. Yeah. Like offensively, like, I mean, I would take the Patriots third receiver in this game. Like, Jacoby Myers is better than all, you know, aside from Kyle Pitts, he's a tight end, but all the other receivers on the Falcons, like, give me Jacoby Myers, give me Nelson Aguilar. Like, that's how bad I think the depth is. Like, when you take Ridley out, when you take Patterson out, Pitts, I mean, you don't even have to be a defensive genius. Like, just watch film. Like, you stop Kyle Pitts. Like, there's no one. Like, Tajay Sharpe is not beating you. Olamide Zaccheaus, I think he's awesome. Like, I really like the player. I like the story, being an undrafted player. He's not scaring you. Russell Gage is not scaring anyone. Yeah. Yeah. Keith Smith coming out. Like, I like Keith Smith. I think he's a good fullback. But, like, he's being, like, I mean, he had 11-yard catch and stuff, but, like, he's being used as a tight end at times. Parker Hesse, I mean, it's gross, like, the offensive talent we currently have. Right. And it's, like, Matt Ryan's obviously going to struggle because the offensive line was awful. The pass protection was just not there. And, I mean, look who he's throwing to. Like, it's so easy to just pile on Matt Ryan. And he did make some bad throws and stuff. Like, I'm not covering for him. But, like, look who he's really working with. If you were to take Matt Ryan and put him in that Patriots offense, he has a better day than Mac Jones.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And
I'm just saying, like, you put Mac Jones on this offense.
Oh, he'd be dead.
Right.
Like, he may be in the hospital right now.
That's what people need to kind of, like, think on. Like, I get it's easy to hate Matt Ryan. Like, you have to always, you know, it's easy to just point the finger at the main leader on offense, because offense has sucked. Like, I mean, when you're only scoring 3 points in the last 2 games, like, I don't care who you got out there. It could be me and DW. Like, we're probably going to put up more than 3 points. Like, that's embarrassing. But yeah, I'm not down with the whole Matt Ryan hater thing, because he was playing well earlier in the season. Like, all of a sudden now he has some struggles, and we can either put it in context and, like, look at why he's struggling, or we can just say, oh, he's old and washed. Like, okay, but a couple games ago he looked really good and was having like PFF grades as elite, but I guess he sucks now.
Yeah, I know. It's and that's what's so frustrating about these narratives. It's the minute he has the bad game, a bunch of people come rushing out and like, ah, this is who he's always been. I'm like, all right, this is honestly what really needs to happen is I just need to stop getting into these arguments. That's what needs to happen.
Well, because it's people pointless. Don't want to look at the context of things. Like, it's just easy to blame. And the national media doesn't help. Like, they throw on the narratives, and I get it. You know, they couldn't stop talking about Super Bowl 51 as if, maybe 2% of this roster was actually on that team. Like, like that's the laziest narrative especially for national media to like constantly bring up. Like, I get it, these two teams played in that, but like, how is it relevant to this game tonight, where you've got Mac Jones, who was probably in high school when that happened. Kyle Pitts, I know, was in high school when that game happened. Mm-hmm. And you're going to spend 20 minutes talking about it. Like, come on.
Yeah, it is. It's lazy, as you said, on their part. And really, at this point, it's sort of the albatross for Falcons fans to carry. Mm-hmm.
They're going to talk about it until there's a super, like, that's just the
right. It's always going to be the story.
Right.
Every time we, you know, sniff the playoffs, it's going to be the story. Every time we play the Patriots, it's going to be the story. Every time
Matt see Ryan's Brady, putting in the Hall of Fame, it'll be the story.
Be the story. Yeah.
Like, it's always going to be the story until but only the Falcons can fix it. So if you're sitting there driving to work right now, listening to this, or sitting at work or whatever you're doing on a Friday, hopefully you're enjoying it. Don't blame yourself as a fan, because you haven't done any of this. Like, this is on this team. Yeah. And they have to fix these wrongs. You as a fan, the fact that you're still a fan after what this team has done, pat yourself on the back right now.
Or I mean, go seek some mental help.
Yeah, really. Maybe speak with a professional. Maybe me and DW need to do that too. But because we're actually like wasting time talking about this team. But I mean, it's this team is the only, you know, that's who can fix this problem.
Yeah.
Not you, as much as you know, we want to talk about it. Not me and DW, we can't do anything. The team has to do it. And right now they don't have the pieces there. I'm like, it's unfortunate, but like, this season's a wash. Like, we kind of knew it, but we were kind of hoping maybe something would happen, but.
Yeah. And I think, again, as you said earlier, you know, we'll close on this. I think the context is important. You know, this is a Falcons team that many of us said could, you know, could be in the playoff race, could be close to 500 if the roster stayed healthy, because they're very thin. And we knew that. And the one thing that has not happened is that they haven't stayed healthy. They started the season literally with an injury on their offensive line. Mm-hmm. And Jalen Mayfield is only starting because Josh Andrews got injured in the first week of practice.
And as much as we love Calvin Ridley and we hope he's doing well and everything, we are missing a weapon.
Yeah, like, a number one receiver.
We can't just ignore, like, I hope, you know, he takes all the time he needs and everything. But going into the season, it's like, when you have Calvin Ridley and Kyle Pitts, I mean, it helps Kyle Pitts for Ridley to be there, because there's a threat with just Kyle Pitts in this offense. Like, there's no other threat for the defense to focus on. So that's just the football side of things, where it's like, you can't blame Arthur Smith for stuff like that. And you can't blame anybody.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, it's unfair to be like, well, you know, this offense has changed a lot.
Yeah. And, you know, I feel like right now people are going to pile up on Arthur Smith as well. And look, he made some play calls which were questionable. But at the same time, you know, he can't go out there and pass block. He can't go out there and run block. He can't go out there and throw the passes. He can't go out there and catch the passes. Mm-hmm. You know, he can only do so much. He can draw this up. Now, you know, these guys, he's dealing with essentially replacement players.
Right. Like, how many of these guys did he actually bring in?
Yeah, very few.
That's what's also worth noting for, you know, hating on him and Fontenot, is like, a lot of these guys were already here. A lot of the guys who are kind of new to this offense, they were like cheap free agents, but a lot of them undrafted players too, and rookies, obviously. But
yeah. And this will probably be the case potentially next year as well. We'll see. There are moves they can make to try to free up cap space, but that is a conversation for another day. We could go on, but I at this point, you and I need to get to bed. And
we need to get to bed, folks.
For those who are listening, hopefully on a Friday, we appreciate each of you listening in, even in spite of another ugly Falcons loss. So Evan, remind them where they can find you, what you've got going on.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Evan Birchfield, everything at the Falcolic. Enjoy your weekend. Try not to think about the Falcons. because I promise you they're not sitting around thinking about you. Just enjoy your weekend with your family and friends. And yeah, we'll be talking about, we'll be previewing the Jags game next week. So we get a mini little bye week here.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be nice. All right. As for you guys, you can follow me on Twitter at FalcoholicDW. Updates for this podcast at FalcoholicPod. And of course, our articles daily at thefalcoholic.com. So for Evan Birchfield, this is David Walker. Thank you guys for listening in. We'll talk with you next time.